Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey. This is episode number 213. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. I really appreciate those of you that share, like, comment each and every week and leave ratings and reviews. It helps us just kind of spread the word. And I also want to thank our sponsors, specifically InTech, for sponsoring this show. I only partner with companies that I believe in, and actually just trained on the InTech Olympic bar this morning, and I think the world of it. So check them out at their website. This week I'm joined by Travis Mash, really a friend of mine that, you know, that I've gotten to know through the years here. And I mean, Travis is a world champion record holder in powerlifting. He's a world, you know, a world-class Olympic lifter, coaches Mash Elite, one of the best teams in the country, in the world. And you know, just a guy that I've come to know and come to really appreciate, and just how he goes about his business. So, man, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, I'm excited, man, and it's a big honor. So thanks for having me on.
Thanks, brother. Well, hey, man, you know, let's get into it. People that don't know you, you know, give me kind of, what was the catalyst? What got you into strength and conditioning in the first place?
Well, I mean, I grew up, is 30 minutes down a dirt road in the middle of the mountains of North Carolina. Is a very tough, you know, part of the world. And I was watching The Incredible Hulk one Friday. You remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really just thought it was a monster. I didn't realize it was a human. And then one day my uncle told me, look, that's Lou Ferrigno. He's like Mr. America, whatever he was. And I was like, are you telling me that this is a human being and this is a man? And he's like, yeah. He's like, you know, if you lift weights and eat right, you know, you can get bigger. And I was blown away. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe that could be a way for me to, you know, to get out of the mountains. Nothing against the mountains. I love it. All my family's still there. It's just, you know, I wanted to see the world and I wanted adventure. So long story short, when I was 11, there was a local gym, you know, 30 minutes down the road. And, you know, Little's Health and Fitness is still there, owned by Martin Little. Shout out. But my cousin would drive there, you know, three times a week. And so he took me and I started going. And, you know, man, it just, I tell you, the barbell is what helped me, you know, get anywhere in life, because, you know, I was short. I'm 5'7", you know, typical white athlete. And the barbell helped, you know, transform me as an athlete. And I was able to play football at Appalachian State. And then from there, Olympic Training Center, Colorado Springs, and then powerlifting around the world. And so, yeah, the barbell was much more than just something to do. It became like something that literally transformed my life, and probably at the end of the day, you know, probably helped save my life, because I was just, you know, troubled kid like most mountain boys, and was going down a wrong path. And so I have a lot to thank for it.
That's incredible. And I think I think a lot of strength coaches that are listening will have the same kind of, you know, similar story or inspiration in that, right. You know, the things that we are able to do. I mean, sometimes you got to stop and take stock of the opportunities that we get as coaches. I mean, getting on private planes and, you know, flying into stadiums filled with thousands of people and traveling the world and competing against the very best in the world. I mean, that's not everybody's normal life, you know. And you know, my wife's family, you know, they always, I mean, they just think that we're the, you know, we just live this glamorous life, and it's like, just, you know, it's just natural and normal for us. But I mean, I think it's what a really cool, I'm glad you said that, because we do get a chance as coaches to take on and have incredible experiences, life experiences, right, that can contribute to our athletes in a big way. You know, as you kind of gone through your athletic career, which kind of naturally led into your coaching career, you know, what's one of the biggest mistakes you made and kind of how you learned from it?
Well, I mean, you know, especially in my athletic career as a powerlifter, I got caught up in, you know, more is better, like the bands and chains. And so I would see, you know, there back then you were just starting to get some videos online, but like I would watch Chuck Vogelpool, you know, he would squat, say, 600 with two blues on each side. So I'm going to try to squat 600 with two blues and a green, you know, and just, I just thought, you know, another example would be benching with bands. Benching with bands definitely helped me get my bench up there because I have long arms. I'm naturally a good deadlifter, but terrible bencher. But benching with bands helped me definitely get my raw bench in the 500s. But it also probably led to a lot of big injuries, you know, because I would, you know, once again, more is better. If a mini works, two minis will be better. If two minis works, just try a purple double. If purple works, I've even benched, you know, high poundages with a thick green band double. It's stupid, you know? So like what I would say is what I've learned is this, is like, try to get the most out of the very least. If you're progressing, don't change, you know? If you start to slow down or maybe you start to plateau, then it's time for a change, but don't always assume more is better, you know? And just because you get stronger quicker, does it make it better either? Because you can just, you know, if you're like pushing towards an injury, that's no good either. Because the guy who can stay in the game the longest without a major injury is the one who at the end of the day ends up on top.
Yeah, that's absolutely a lesson that we learned in the NFL for sure, is the team that makes it through the entire season the healthiest is usually in the Super Bowl. And we always had a similar setting where, you know, it's not the most you can do, it's the least you can do with the same results. And
right, man. Yeah.
I agree with that 100%. I think that's important. Well, as that power lifter, as that competitor, I think we all go through this in some degree of, you know, constantly comparing ourselves versus somebody else, you know, and obviously in competition, you are in some degree, you're comparing against other people in your weight class. But I think we all kind of go through this evolution of, we're really competing against ourselves and our own PB, and our own, you know, how, you know, as an athlete, and how have you taken that mentality, you know, something that you can only almost learn through maturity and try to instill it in your young lifters right now?
You know, because I'm able, you know, I have the natural ability to, I guess, form relationships with these dudes. And they, probably because I'm still a kid at heart, and I'm able to, you know, think a lot like, you know, some of my young kids. I'm able to tell them, you know, mistakes, and they listen. I explain to them, you know, I became a world champion and a world record holder, but I missed a big chunk of what I could have done had I been a little bit smarter. And so, you know, most of the people that train with me are either super good football players, I don't really train any average, you know. At least I don't train any people who want to be average. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
Everyone that trains with me wants to be the best. So, you know, they buy into what I'm doing because they see the other athletes that are killing it. And so they listen. You know, I would have listened too, you know, if I'd have gone to Westside Barbell, you know, there's a coach there. It's already, you know, created athletes like that I want to be. I would have listened. And I think I just have that advantage. You know, I've done it. I've created others. And so when they come to me, they listen, and they know that I care about them. They know that, you know, I'm trying to tell them something that's going to get them, you know, the results they want. They know I want to win as bad as they do.
Sure.
Like, you know, I've never met anyone who wants to win more than me. You know, it's the sickness I have. And so, like, they know that. And so they also know that I want them healthy too. So.
Right, right. You know, you're one of the first guys that really that I can point to that really kind of blended powerlifting with weightlifting, and you've done that continuously as a coach in your programming, working with just like those elite football players and other sports, NBA players and whatnot. But you also have, you know, you've taken that and applied that. I mean, MASH Elite's a weightlifting team. You've applied this kind of principles to, you know, to that. What do you think that you're doing differently from a programming standpoint than most of the weightlifting coaches out there?
I mean, I think that I have a big emphasis on strength, you know, like, I mean, we obviously were known for our ability to squat and pull, you know, our guys are super strong. I think when you're super strong that, you know, it gives you more room for error, you know, like I'm all about technique. We have, I think, you know, Don McCauley is the coach, he coaches with me. I don't think there's any other coach in America that's better technically than him. So you kind of have the two of us combined. It makes for a really good blend. It's like, you know, I'm going to get my athletes strong. He's going to make sure they're technically sound. You know, I just think in America for too long, still the majority of what they talk about is like technique. And then when you meet somebody from Russia or China, I mean, they talk a little bit about technique, but they're trying to get strong.
They're just brute strong, yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, at the end of the day, once you get technique down, I mean, it's not that hard. We really try to overcomplicate it. And, you know, if you're a good athlete, you know, snatching, clean, jerking, I mean, it takes a while at the beginning, but, you know, once you got it, you got it. You know, I mean, it's not that hard. It's not the hardest movement. It's not like it's gymnastics. You know, you're not asking a person to flip around a bar and twirl themselves through the air, spin four times and land on their feet. You know, it's just taking a bar from the floor overhead. It's not that hard.
So, right. No, I, you know, you don't want to overcomplicate it, right? And strength is, is kind of one of those things that is the grand, mediator. You know, it's gonna be the determining factor across the board. So I agree with that 100%. You know, I've been in your gym, and actually, I was just talking to Joe on my way back to Atlanta for a while, and you know, Joe he trains out of your gym when he's back home. Yeah. Clemens there, and. He said, you know, his comment was that no matter when he goes in there, if you got, you know, your elite athletes or even your 13-year-olds, he's like, I'm the weakest guy in the gym, you know, and you know, and I watching a training, you know, watching you take your athletes through a training session, it's just incredible the amount of weight that they're throwing around. I mean, you know, what kind of programming? I mean, where do you start with those young athletes in terms of them? Is it just them simply seeing other people lifting so much weight? Yeah. So they want to try to catch up?
It's a culture and a mindset. Like, you know, we don't set limits. I think a big problem with American weightlifting is we set limits for so long. You know, you hang around some of the older coaches and they're awesome, but you know, all they're going to talk about is American records. And I could care less, you know? Yeah. We already have a bunch, you know, Nathan Dameron is American record holder. My 13-year-old Morgan McCullough, he's American record holder. Like, we don't care. I'm trying to set world records. And until we have that mindset, we'll always be behind all these other countries. And don't tell me it's drugs, because, you know, our track and field, they're doing it. Our gymnasts are doing it. Our wrestlers are doing it. So can we. And so it's just a mindset I think I brought, you know, from the strength and conditioning world, from football. You know, playing at Appalachian State, we had high expectations. You know, like, if we played, you know, we played Michigan, you know, we're trying to win. And we did once, you know, like, and so that's just, we expect to win no matter what. Whereas the weightlifting for a while, the culture was, you know, go to, you know, if you go against Russia, well, you just, let's try to get second. And like, I don't know how that started, but that's not what I'm about. And
no.
So like, it's just a different mindset. And with the young, you know, to answer your first question about where do we start with the young kids, it's movement patterns. So if you watch, like, I just put a video up yesterday. I had a 13 and a 17-year-old. It sounds not fair, but it is fair. My 13-year-old, is the Morgan McCullough kid, he's an anomaly. He's a one in a million. Mm-hmm. So he's battling, you know, at the jerk with my 17-year-old Matt Weiniger. And you'll see that both their movement patterns are perfect. And, you know, that's how you start it. And once you have a solid movement pattern, though, then you can start to load. And loading will stop when that movement pattern breaks down. You know, if I start to see an inkling of like that movement, you know, changing or going the wrong way, then we stop. And so, but as long as you're loading with proper movement patterns, you're safe. So,
yeah, you mentioned, you know, your website and the videos and everything, and we're going to link all that up. But that, I mean, I would highly recommend people check that out. Not, you know, on your social media. I mean, just for inspiration to see a 13-year-old that kind of weight around or, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter which. I mean, you flip on any one of those, and you're incredibly impressed with what's being done. And you know, it kind of takes me to my next question: is, you know, you go, and again, you planted a flag. It was almost like a field of dreams kind of. I'll build it, and they'll come. And I mean, you know, your facility, I mean, is nothing spectacular. Your location is nothing spectacular
at all. Yeah,
but people will travel around the world to come train with you, get coached by you, and then obviously you do remote coaching as well. But you know, what was the mindset behind that? Was that just, was it all family, or is it, you know?
I came back to the Winston-Salem area because I was actually in Chicago working for D1 Performance, and I met my soon-to-be wife before I left, and we continued talking. And like, I was 100% in love with this woman, Emily Drew, who's my wife. But, and I was, she told me, like, look, this is going to work. You got to come home. And so I came home, and I came home, Ron, to nothing. Like, you know, there was nothing, you know, I didn't have a job. It was, just, I just made it happen. I started working with who had been my long-term chiropractor when I was an athlete, you know, Dr. Gray. You know, I was doing rehab for him, and I started my training business on the side. And so there was really no, like, I'm just going to come here and build this great business. It was come here and like survive and be able to support a wife. And it just grew. And then the bigger it got, then I could start to form, you know, my vision, which was, you know, to work with mainly athletes. And then, you know, somehow my athletes started doing super well. And then that started recruiting guys like Tommy Bohannon, the, you know, the fullback for the Jaguars. And next thing you know, I'm coaching John North. And so people see me making improvements with this, you know, Great American Weightlifter. So then weightlifters start moving, and you know, it just, you know, I wish I could say I planned it. I wish I could, if I could have planned it, I would sell that book, but I didn't, you know. I just got results,
right?
You know, that's, I think that's one thing that a lot of coaches have forgotten. You know, they're trying to do everything, you know, to grow their business other than get results,
right?
And so my athletes got results, and you know, like Cade Carney, the starting running back at Wake Forest. I mean, you know, he got results. You know, we had him strong and mobile and fast, and he goes and breaks all their freshman running back records. And you gotta get results, man. Like, you know, right, like if you're not a good coach, the first thing I'd recommend is figure that out. You know,
right,
like, don't worry about Instagram if you suck as a coach.
Right,
you
know? Right.
Figure that one first. So.
Well, that's I think that's such a great message, and that, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you that question, because you know, so many times as coaches we get caught up in chasing the logos on our chest, and we get, you know, we move, yeah, around and move all over the place. And the reality is, just make the big time where you're at. You know, set, you know, decide that you're going to make this place great, and then as things, opportunities come your way, you're comparing it against great. You know, because you've created,
right,
a good situation. And sometimes there is opportunities where you just can't say no. And sometimes,
right,
you know, but a lot of times it's like, you know, just buy in completely to where you're at, and kind of have a zero, you know, focus on your athletes and get them, create results, like you mentioned. And, you know, you can be as happy as you want to be, you know. And I see the, you know, posts that you make about your family and your kid. And I mean, it's just, that's what it's all about. That's your ultimate. The ultimate team is your home team. And
it's mine,
really, right, buying into it. So, you know, you mentioned Instagram, and I mean, you know, you've done a lot online, you know. And again, I mean, it's not, I mean, I bet early, you know, early when you started that, it was even kind of looked at, maybe even down upon by other,
yeah,
coaches using kind of social media. And I'm sure you battle the occasional kind of self-promotion, or you're just throwing the video up for, you know, to show kids lifting a lot of weight or this, that, or the other. But you've really built a great business kind of through, you know, online portals and social media and things like that. Talk a little bit about the role that social media has played in you being able to create that culture that you're talking about.
Well, man, I mean, if people hate on social media, they're crazy, because the sport of weightlifting would still be in the dark ages if it wasn't for social media. So, you know, to me, it's about, you know, creating awareness, whether it's strength and conditioning, whether it's weightlifting, or whether it's powerlifting. Like, I'm trying, like, look, man, just like you, I've spent my whole life trying to learn all about the barbell. It's been my life work, and it was my life work when nobody cared. It was my life because I loved it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, when I was 11, I started training, and I never looked back. And it was only until 5 years ago that anybody gave a crap. And so,
right,
like, now that you know, I see some momentum, I'm gonna do everything I can to leave a legacy. Like, otherwise, I die, and my life work is for nothing.
Right.
But, you know, God gave me this. He gave me the ability to be super strong. He gave me the ability to coach. So it's my job to give back and to teach other people and to spread that awareness. The barbell is awesome, man. Like, whether, you know, whether you're trying to be a great athlete, or whether you're just, you know, an average adult trying to, you know, to keep the grade as far away as possible, no matter what it is, it's great. So my job is to spread that and to teach other people about it, and to show it's not just for the strongest people in the world. It's for the 30-year-old mom and dad who are maybe their accountants, or the stay-at-home mom. It's to keep her from getting osteoporosis. It's,
right.
So that is why I do what I do. Yeah, is it going to help my business? Sure. But I tell you what, 75% of my business is giving away stuff for free.
Right.
The educational videos I do, the articles I write every single day, you know, that's all free. And so if down the road somebody wants to purchase something, a product I create, then that's great. But if they don't, they know good and well, that's cool too.
Right. So, no, yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, my response to that is always, if you don't do it, then who is? You got a bunch of internet sensations, fly by night that never coached a soul. Putting material out there that people are consuming, and it's the wrong material. The people that should be doing it are the ones seeing the results and at the highest level. And it's tough. It's not as hard as people think, especially with smartphones and things like that. But you have to be intentional about how you go about doing it,
right?
And so that you don't do it in a douchebag kind of way.
No, man, I'm just trying to and mainly what I do is I'm just trying to highlight my athletes. I feel good about people like Adi Zucker. She just got married. Can't even say her husband is like Cajun from Louisiana. I can't even say their last name. But anyway, she owns Working Against Gravity. And so the fact that she came here and then I publicized her, gave her this platform to now have $1 million business. That's same awesome. With, with John North. He was able to get more publicity of Jared Enderton. It's more than just publicizing myself. I love the fact that I'm able to help other athletes launch their careers or improve their athleticism.
So right.
Either way, it's good. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, hey, we end the show with a couple of resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
I think I already said that earlier, but it's just getting the most out of the least. Coach King, man, that dude he's always been my mentor, especially in the coaching world. So that was him, is just saying, Travis, get the most, out of the very least. He also is the one who told me, you touched on it a second ago, but wherever you are, whatever job you're doing, make that the best job in the world. And he said at that point, you would never have to fill out another resume ever.
Yeah.
It's true. If something were to happen and the internet blew up, it wouldn't be very hard for me to get a job somewhere else now because I put so much into what I'm doing. So those are the two, both Coach Ken. I've gotten a lot of advice from Louis Simmons too, but Coach Ken is he's been my mentor since I've been, mainly just coaching and not being an athlete.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
All right, books, I would go, obviously, I'm sure you've heard this one before, but Super Training,
yep.
You're trying to learn about programming. Verkoshansky. Mel Siff. Never Let Go by Dan John. Dude, I love that because it's so simple and it works.
Yeah.
His books are always,
it's common sense type approach.
Yeah. You read all this complicated stuff and you try to be complicated. You read Dan John and you apply his stuff and you're like, wow, that works better. And then Good to Great by Jim Collins is, somebody just gifted that to me. Oh, my COO, Rebecca, she gave me that book. It's all about,
it's good.
A lot of people can make something good, but it just takes a few different principles to actually make it great.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Any apps or websites?
Yeah. AndyGalpin.com. If you don't know who Andy Galpin is, you should figure it out. The dude is, here's what I love about him. He's big time in research. He is the head of exercise science at, is it Stanford? Or Cal State Fullerton. Anyway, one of those California schools. But that dude is on the cutting edge of research, and he's cool because he's a weightlifter too.
Right.
And so he loves the coaching, but it's hard to do. You can't do both. You're in research, and he's teaching, but, the dude takes his information he's learning from research and can help you apply it to what you do as a coach. So it's awesome. The stuff he's got, the stuff he talks about with genetics will blow you away. He'll teach you. Here's what Andy will teach you. He's like, that we don't know anything. That's what you're going to learn from
him. Yeah. How I always feel when I read research.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I would just, echo what I said earlier about, getting an opportunity to interact with you and see how you operate. And it really is the culture that you've created. If you're ever in that area, I would highly recommend people stopping by and talking and seeing how you, just the culture that you've created with your athletes, they believe in you, they buy into you, and more so than that, but even the relationship they have with each other, there's such a respect amongst everybody that's in the building, that it's that goes back to you and your vision and how you've incorporated everything. And so, man, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with everybody. And we'll make sure to link up. Give us your Instagram handles and all that, and your website.
Instagram is just Master League Performance, and my website, masterleague.com.
Perfect.
So, yeah, those would be the two places.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on.
All right, brother. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefree.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefree's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefree in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefree can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefree. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefree. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.